are going to get a lesson in workplace manners this hour from none other than Miss Manners. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll talk about the business of being polite at work and the etiquette dilemmas that exist from the cubicle to the corner office, from bosses who act like our friends to coworkers complaining on social media to all those office fun drives and parties that not all of us feel like participating in. And we hope that you will join in with your workplace-related etiquette question or quandary at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page at The Joy Cardine Show or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Judith Martin, perhaps better known by the pen name Miss Manners. She is a journalist, an author, an etiquette authority. She has written columns on politeness since 1978 and is the co-author of the new book, Miss Manners Minds Your Business. Good morning.
Good morning.
So nice of you to be with us. And I say you are the co-author. Your co-author is your son. Why is he co-authoring
it's
the book?
My son, yes. I misunderstood the thing about bring your children to work, and I thought it was put your children to work.
Good for you.
So I wrote a book with my daughter a few years ago, and this year I wrote a book with my son.
And your son has quite a bit of a workplace experience that he brought to it.
Yes. I, as a reporter, always took the employee point of view only, save the poor employee. And my son, who has been a magazine publisher, worked at the White House on the budget, and is now director of operations at Lyric Opera of Chicago, pointed out that there are problems on both sides.
Yeah. Well, why do you think this book is needed?
Because of my mail of people who deluge me with complaints about the workplace. That is eating up their lives and their salaries too, with the constant pleas for money and the pseudo social events, so that they're really kind of strangled in their personal lives.
You know, are the workplace etiquette issues of today a whole lot different than the workplace etiquette issues of, you know, yesterday?
Yes, they are, because people used to spend their careers at one or two places, and there was a standard of professional behavior. And so that's one difference now. People go from place to place, and this huge difference that everybody's expected to be friends, with all that that involves and the kind of phony veneer that's put on what ought to be professional behavior. Hours are longer, partly because of this pseudo-socializing. Because people are moving around, there is not that sense of loyalty in either direction by the employer or the employee.
Mm-hmm. Why do you call it pseudo-socializing?
Because do you really want your boss to pick your friends and to send them away when he's tired of them and maybe you're not? The tragedy of today's pretense that everybody is friends is most clear at the end of a job, if you are fired or even if you retire after a long, successful career. And suddenly nobody's free for lunch anymore. Nobody keeps in touch, even though they promised to. Well, they weren't friends in the first place. They were colleagues, and you may have liked them and gotten along with them. But unless you formed separate friendships that had nothing to do with the job, that's the end of it. And a lot of people are left bereft at the end of their jobs.
Yeah. So we should not be friends with our coworkers?
You should be cheerful and cooperative and get along with them, but you should use your spare time to make real friends, people who would be with you even if you were fired or otherwise had difficulties.
Well, how does one deal with those pseudo-social relationships in the workplace if we're, you know, being asked out to lunch all the time or, hey, you know, join our bowling league or whatever?
Well, and there's a difference there. Lunch comes during the business day and is indeed a way of talking less formally with your colleagues. Joining the bowling league, if perhaps those are not your favorite people or bowling is not your favorite sport, but you feel obliged to do so because everybody in the office is in it, well, where does that bowling time come from? It comes from time you could spend with your family or actual friends or doing what you really want to do.
Mm-hmm. And so how does one politely decline without looking like the Grinch?
Well, I admit it is very difficult, and I can't change the whole workplace system, although I would love to, but at least I hope I can open people's eyes to what is going on there, and so that they don't have the false hopes of friendship, not only with colleagues, but with bosses. If your boss is a jolly person who is your friend, how come he doesn't give you a raise? How come he fires you? How come he chastises you when you do something wrong? If people could actually perceive the hierarchy, I think they would have a lot less trouble in saying, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, I'd love to, but my spouse is expecting me or something of that nature.
Well, let's talk a little bit about bosses who act like they're our friends. With the holiday gift giving, how do we deal with those sorts of dilemmas? I've been told don't give your boss a gift because it'll look like you're trying to curry favor.
The whole gift exchange business in professional life is ridiculous. And I know from my readers that people agonize over what to give their colleagues or their bosses, and you're quite right that you should not be giving presents to your boss. They agonize over that, and in their personal lives, they say, oh, well, they'll just give a check to the nephew or the sister or whoever. It should be the other way around. Money is what talks in business, and it's the boss who should be giving a present if anyone does, and it should be a bonus, or failing that, a little extra time off. Whereas in private life, that's where you should be thinking about what would please people.
You know, it did not happen at Wisconsin Public Radio, just to put that out there, but someone I know was recently had his arm twisted to participate in one of these secret Santa gift-giving things. And he really didn't want to, but he just felt like he had to just because, you know, he would have been the lone person out if he didn't agree to it. Any advice?
Yes, Secret Santa is one of the worst possible ideas in business life. It's a dormitory type of thing, and it opens the way for making ghastly mistakes because you really probably don't know enough about people to know what they want. And I hear all the time about people who give nasty presents to express grudges that they had not otherwise aired. You can't do this kind of thing alone, but I am sure that your friend is not the only person who loathes this. And the idea is to gather together a bunch of people and say, a bunch of the employees, and say, you know, we really don't think the Secret Santa thing is what we want to do here. Why don't we all just, have a nice wish each other merry holidays and concentrate on our families.
We're talking with Judith Martin, Miss Manners about her latest book, Miss Manners Minds Your Business. And maybe you have some sort of etiquette dilemma at your workplace or a question that you'd like to run by Miss Manners. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Do you have coworkers or clients at work who bug you, trying to figure out what to do about the office party or whether to follow up for a job interview? Do you have any conflicts at work that arise from generational differences? Or do you have another business etiquette related question? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org, as we are getting a lesson on workplace manners from our guest, Miss Manners, Judith Martin, author of Miss Manners Minds Your Business. Boyd sends this email. How does Miss Manners feel if co-workers start dating and they work at the same place? It seems that in recent years, the office or workplace has become the place where potential couples have met. So anything wrong with romance in the office, Miss Manners?
Well, we all know there's everything wrong with it, but it's going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, even I can't stop human nature. And the long hours that people work, of course, make it all the more likely because they don't meet anybody else. It's a potential disaster, and it's the ultimate reason for professional manners, pleasant but distant, in the hope that you will not be accused, as people are, of course, of favoritism, of using work time for personal gratification, or if things break up, for feuds that interfere with work. So keep it a secret if you can, and in any way be very careful to behave in a highly professional manner, which you should be doing anyway.
How can workers... This one must come up a lot. How can workers politely manage distractions from other people when they're trying to get things done?
It's odd to me that in personal life, people are always canceling things or making excusing themselves to make phone calls or doing things, saying, "Well, it's work. I have to work." On the job, they never say that. Mm-hmm. Why don't you say, "I'm so sorry, I have work to do"?
Just say that. Somebody's at your door.
Yes. I mean, shouldn't you have work to do when you're at work and people are trying to distract you of all times? As I say, people have no trouble apparently saying that to their friends and relations. Yeah.
Do you see a lot of generational clashes playing out in the workplace with your male?
Of course I do. Mm. A lot. For the scorn that the generations have for one another on the job, where the older people say the younger people don't know how to behave, they don't know how to dress, they don't know how to talk. And the younger people are saying the older people don't know how to use their own computers, let alone use social media and other new tools of the workplace. So there's a lot of that going on. Yeah. But they can learn from one another if they try.
Yeah. Any thoughts, any guidance when it comes to social media? Frankly, I see my own coworkers. I don't know, complaining on social media, is that fair game or not?
No, of course not. Why people are so unsophisticated about social media, as to believe that they can control it and control who sees it. I really don't know. It's been out there for quite a while now, and it should be very obvious that whatever you put on there is going to be there and forever, and it's going to be available to everybody, no matter how many controls you put on it, because one of your friends happens to pass it on to someone else, one of your little chosen group. It's going to be there, and employers are reading social media before they hire people, and parents are reading it even before that. So it's really, really, really a bad idea to put on things that could be damaging. The problem is that very often people at a certain stage in life don't see how it's damaging to show everybody what a marvelous time they had at a drunken party, or to air their grievances and their complaints. But it always comes back to haunt them.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Judith Martin, otherwise known as Miss Manners. We are talking about her book, Miss Manners Minds Your Business, about workplace etiquette. And if you have a question, a quandary, a dilemma, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Zach in Madison joins us. Hi, Zach.
Hi there, Joy.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Yeah, thank you for being here, Miss Manners. I actually wanted to drop a little bit of a positive note about my experiences with office social gatherings. I work for UW-Madison, and one thing that my boss has been hosting in our building for about, actually this year marks the 20th year, is an annual cookie exchange. We've found that that has worked really well. It's a lot less stress than I completely agree than a gift exchange might be. But everybody in our department, we get together. We each bring in about two dozen of the same kind of our favorite kind of cookie. And then we walk around the table, just chatting and laughing. And in the end, everyone goes home with everyone else's favorite kind of cookie. So I just wanted to say that maybe if for this holiday season here, if people have like less expensive things, like, yeah, you're baking batches of cookies anyway, it might be a more fun way to do that sort of interaction without the stress of...
Yes and no.
Yes.
You're very lucky that everybody enjoys that. But are you sure that people who don't cook, or people who are tightly budgeted, or people who are on diets of one kind or another are really as thrilled with this? And if they all are, fine, I don't want to interfere, but if there are people who are perhaps being silent about the fact that they find this a nuisance or an expense or a temptation, again, it's not necessarily, you don't know everything about everyone there.
Yeah, and
it's not necessarily a delight to all.
You
but I'm glad you enjoy it.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
But that's something that needs to be thought about. It sounds as though your general advice would be that doing something like this, starting one up, tomorrow, is probably not a great idea for the boss to start this up.
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for conviviality and perhaps marking the holidays in a minor way, but although not everybody celebrates Christmas, for example. I really don't think this kind of thing, with its assumptions. I mean, in your family that everybody loves cookies, or to bring something different for the person who can't eat them or doesn't like them. But you don't know at the office.
Yeah. Is there any argument that the socializing at work like this helps teamwork and helps team building, and that
that's the huge argument that is made by businesses, and it grows out of a decades old American idea, which is very sweet in theory, but I don't think has really worked out, that if you know people better and you know everything about them and you socialize them, you will love them and you will work better together. Well, excuse me, but whom do you know better than the person you're divorcing?
Yeah, meaning that
you're ignoring. It doesn't work. To know people is not necessarily to love them, or not necessarily to be able to get along particularly well with them.
Our next caller is Pat in Madison. Hello, Pat.
Yes, good morning. I'm calling to ask about a situation you may have touched on briefly before. I have a coworker who talks incessantly, loudly, all during the day, kind of bellows across the office, a very open office all day. I've complained to management before. It makes it difficult to do my work. I can't hear on the phone to do my work. The stress it engenders is almost unbearable. I've mentioned it to management. They tell me I'm not the only one complaining, and yet it persists. I've asked him to be more considerate, and no response. Why is this person allowed to make work hell for everyone else?
That is an extremely good question. And why does your employer not care that it's interfering with work and annoying a lot of people? Try going to them in a group of people who feel this way. The employer's job is to find a way to stop this without humiliating the person, by saying, I'm sure you don't realize, and so on and so on. But this is an outcome, this and many other annoyances, of the open workspace, which people said was developed in order to let people work together. Another part of this, if you are on intimate terms with people, you will get along, you will be more productive, which obviously is not true. You're less productive, as you point out. Besides which, the real reason for those open offices is that it was cheaper to build. But just try it with a group of you. It's interfering with work. Are you going to do something about it?
Thank you very much, Pat. That's a good suggestion. And you do give suggestions where you do try to avoid embarrassing the offender, saving face. It's just generally, if you ever want to point out someone's bad habit, try to do it in a way that they aren't totally embarrassed.
Yes. I mean, we are an abrasive society now, and people want to state things in aggressive, bold terms. You know, you're driving me crazy, stop that, and so on. Well, first of all, it's rude, but second of all, it is highly ineffective. When you attack people, they fight back. Every diplomat knows that the way to get someone to do what you want them to do is to give them a face-saving way to do it.
Yeah. So instead of saying, hey, shut up to the bellower,
you probably don't realize that your voice is carrying and people are having trouble with it, and they're hearing all your business.
Let's take another call from Karen in Sauk City. Hello, Karen.
Hi.
This one is a good one. I see this happening more and more. what are you seeing, and what's your dilemma?
Well, I work in the medical office, and the receptionists up front are constantly going on the internet, viewing newspapers and videos that are news releases, and there's recalls to be done and things to be done, and they're not getting done. The employer just kind of ends up in his office and ignores it. I've brought it up to him before. They've even gone as far as breaking some of the issues of privacy. And then they also keep their cell phone real close to the computer system. And if a text message comes in, you can hear it beep while we're with patients and things like that. And the employer just kind of ignores it.
What is happening in American business? There are two employers in a row here who don't care that work is being sabotaged during the workday. I find that extraordinary that they really don't care. Now, it's all based on the idea that if you let people goof off a little, they'll work longer. But as you have found out, they're goofing off longer. Are you required to make up for the work that they're not doing?
Nicole? To some degree, yes.
That's a complaint you have to say. If he wants everybody to play video games and do their social media during work time, that's his responsibility. But if you say, I am getting extra work to do because people are not doing their jobs, they're busy playing, that's a legitimate complaint.
Yeah, and
you should make.
And if your coworker is playing on social media and looking at text messages and it doesn't affect your job, maybe that's
not your business.
And it's not
Yes, it's unfortunate, but you can't go around policing everybody unless you're the boss when you should be doing it.
Yeah.
And they're not, apparently.
So what do we do, though we're in a meeting and we're conveying ideas on the big project and somebody is constantly looking at text messages or social media on their mobile device and not really paying attention? What's a polite way, or what's an effective way of getting that individual's attention?
Well, the chair of the meeting is responsible for this. And nowadays you have to announce a policy that we are not using our devices during the meeting, if you want to say that, because... otherwise, you can't really tell if they are taking notes, which, of course, they all claim to be doing. Oh, I'm listening. I'm just taking notes. So that's up to that person to decide. And, again, not for the colleagues to police them, although if that person is going to miss essential information, then it's going to handicap him or her. And if there's no essential information that's being missed, maybe the meeting shouldn't be held.
Mm-hmm. You know, we did hear from two callers now who said that they complained to management about an issue at work that was then ignored anyway. I'm wondering if, do we need to go to management right away, or should we try to be dealing one-on-one with our coworkers about these issues that bother us?
Well, few people seem to be able to deal with them politely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, you ought to be able to say to the loud talker, I'm terribly sorry, but you know your voice carries, and I'm having trouble. Do you mind keeping it down a bit? But that's not what people are likely to say. The people who are goofing off. That report was due today, I thought. Can you get it out? Because they are not in a position to go around chastising their colleagues, nor should they be.
Amanda emails, I don't know if your guests understands the modern workplace. People are friends with their coworkers and friends with their bosses. I met my husband and some of my best friends at work. People speak up if they don't want to do Secret Santa or bake cookies. It's not that big of a deal.
Well, I'm very glad that it's been a success for this person all around. But people don't always speak up. I know that because I'm flooded with letters from people who say, well, I can't be the one to say that I don't like this or that. And I presume what this person has done is to make real friends at the office and even a spouse, which is fine. I mean, you may find that you like your colleagues so much that you see them outside the office and you get to know them really personally, you have a personal relationship. That's fine. I'm saying you should not be mandated to do that.
Nobody's mandated to do that, though.
Well, they are on the job. If you have a boss who says, if you're not part of the team, if you're not going out to drinks with people after work, if you're not participating in the office parties, if you're not contributing to the funds for buying presents for people, you're just not part of the team. And that's what I mean by mandating a form of friendship.
Yeah, I get it. But if, because we spend so much time at the office, we do develop friendships, even if they might be pseudo friendships to some extent. I mean, is there really any harm in that, that we're buddies
not
with our work?
If not if they're real friendships, no. I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. But ask yourself, if I left the job, would this person still be my friend? If I were in trouble on the job, would this person be on my side? And if so, they're real friends, and get to know them and get to know their families, and you could have a lifetime friendship. I'm not against that. But the where it doesn't work is where you've seen them every day, you have so much in common because of the work, and you talk to them and so on, and you think you can count on them, but in fact, you haven't gone to the trouble to make real friends with them.
We are talking with Judith Martin, also known as Miss Manners. She's a journalist, an author, an etiquette authority. She has written many columns on politeness. She is the author of the new book, Miss Manners Minds Your Business. And we are talking about business place, workplace manners and etiquette. And we're welcoming some examples from you of situations that you would like her advice on. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a business or workplace related etiquette question. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about workplace etiquette and welcoming your etiquette dilemmas for Judith Martin, or Miss Manners. We are talking about her book, Miss Manners Minds Your Business. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Tracy emails, my husband works at a company that keeps liquor in the office and sponsors many parties during work hours. Goodness. It is not uncommon for staff to drink hard liquor during lunch and then start drinking again at 3 p.m., often Monday through Friday. They also pressure my husband to drink as well, which is rather uncomfortable as he is a recovering alcoholic but does not want to announce this. Any advice?
Well, if there's ever a clear example of what's wrong with socializing on the job, that's it.
Yeah.
And apparently another employer doesn't care if everybody's merrily sloshed during work hours. This is not the environment for a recovering alcoholic. And one has to learn in life to be able to say no. Excuse me. There are plenty of people who will encourage their friends and relations to drink more, to eat more, to do things like that. And you have to be able to say no, and you have to be able to say it as often as the people who pressure come back with, oh, a little bit won't hurt you, and, oh, come on, everybody is having a drink, and we're doing this, and come on, what's the matter with you? You just have to be able to say no, thank you, over and over and over again. But I seriously think that this is not the job for a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah. Do you advise that people get on the dance floor at the holiday Christmas party?
Well, if they can do so in a decorous fashion. But my January is always taken over by people who went to the office party and they thought the key word was party. The key word is office. Mm-hmm. It's still that, and people are watching you.
Let's go to Lori in Hills Corners. Hi, Lori.
Yes. Good morning. Yes, thank you. I have an unusual one for you. I was at a listening session. State legislators were in town, and I went to a local high school to listen, to be listened to, and guess what? Every single one of the legislators from the Finance Committee were sitting facing the audience on the stage of the high school, facing the audience, but with a laptop in front of them, and most of them had their gaze averted from the audience, and I think their ears. So please tell me what the person could do about that.
It's called an election.
Yeah.
Get rid of people who are not paying attention to you because that's their job. Now, again, they're all going to complain that they were taking notes and they were writing down every word you said and so on. Well, see if they actually do seem to have registered what you said. But when elected officials behave badly, we have a resource not to elect them again.
Yeah. You can also find out if they have been posting on Facebook or tweeting during the public hearing things that have nothing to do with what what you were talking
it's
about.
It's very easy to find that out, yes.
And in fact, we just had a news story last week of a campaign worker who had sent out some really inappropriate tweets, and you'd think to yourself, what were they thinking? You know, almost racist tweets that somebody who's in public office, or at least in public work, is sending out on a social media account.
Well, we all know even more startling examples of that in recent months. Not a good idea. They're among the people who are not smart enough to have figured out that this is going to get around.
Yeah. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you have a workplace etiquette question for Judith Martin, Miss Manners. We are talking about workplace manners, office etiquette. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. All right, I'm going to go to the maybe familiar territory to you, but what do you do if you have a colleague who has a bad habit like loud gum chewing?
This is very familiar territory to me. In today's cubicle culture, the number of people who report that the person next to them is chewing gum, is using nasty perfume, or just plain smells bad, or is doing one of a million different things. And they're, again, evidence that being close is not necessarily endearing. Again, if you can say politely, I'm so sorry, I can hear the gum from my desk, if there is not an employer who will be strong enough to say in a way that doesn't embarrass an individual by saying, well, there have been some complaints about noise, and can we keep voices down and not chew gum at the office and so on, so that it seems like a general thing that's not aimed at one particular person.
Yeah. So maybe go to the boss if your coworker wears too much perfume to see if something can be said. Or
well,
done.
If a polite approach doesn't work, if you don't say, you have marvelous perfume, but I have reactions to it, and I wonder, you probably want to save it for your after-hours life anyway.
Let's take another call from Tom in La Crosse. Hello, Tom.
Hello. I become somewhat of the Dr. Phil at our workplace. Different employees will come to me and vent about other employees, and I'm quite neutral about it and try to stay away from personalities. I'm just wondering if you're curious your suggestions or opinions.
Well, are you in a supervisory capacity over the people that are being complained about?
No, everyone's pretty much in the same situation. We're all pretty much equally, the management is away from us, not in the home per se.
Well, then I wouldn't get involved if I were you. they're venting to you because they obviously expect you to do something. But what do they expect you to do? And if a number of people want to get together over one issue, and you might want to join them, but the being the office scold is not an enviable position.
Yeah, and so if you have people, coworkers, unhappy about work, unhappy with their interpersonal relationships, and they just want to vent and talk to you, that's the time to pull out the "I've got to get some work done."
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, I really feel for you, but I've got to get this out before before lunch.
Let's talk a little bit about meeting etiquette a little bit more. We talked about the issue of, you know, if somebody is using social media during and not paying attention during a meeting. Are there other etiquette issues that come up to your attention regarding meetings that we can discuss?
Yes, well, no time limits. I mean, people who drone on, people who bring up irrelevant matters, people who interrupt speakers and or contradict them. There's a whole range of unfortunate things in meetings, and that's where the chair is supposed to be the etiquette arbitrator. It's the chairperson is supposed to say, this is very interesting, but we have a time limit on it, or no, we'll discuss this another time. It's not really what this meeting is about, things like that. There should be an etiquette arbitrator in the form of the chair of the meeting.
Another call from Andrew in Green Bay. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, how's it going?
Pretty good. What's your situation?
It's kind of interesting. We have two women in my office that are from Kosovo, and I don't have a problem with it, but at certain times during the day, they tend to correspond in their native language, and some of the other girls in the office seem to have a problem with it and make kind of snide comments, so I'm not 100% sure what your guests might think in terms, you know, if that's proper etiquette or not, or if something should, be said to our supervisor to maybe have them, you know, halt the speaking in their own language.
If we have a multicultural environment these days, and yes, it would be rude to, if you were in a group, to use a language that excludes the people in the group. But for two people to talk to each other in their own language, there's nothing wrong with it.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't be listening, right? They're just talking to each other.
Yeah, and the other women who feel offended by this should just get a life?
Yes, unless, as I say, that it's a situation where there are several people and remarks are made in a language that some of them don't understand. But if you're just overhearing people talking, go back to work.
So how? Any general advice on how workers with vastly different communication styles can find harmony with each other?
Well, frankness is usually advised, and it's usually one of the worst things. There should be an understanding of what is proper at the workplace to say and do and what is not. Communication, I mean, we all should know, or you shouldn't be on the job, what the basic task is to be done. And if something is not clear, someone could ask for an explanation. But if by communication skills you mean people are inadvertently being rude or dismissive or otherwise offending people, then they're doing a poor job, and it's up to a supervisor to do something about that.
If we hear a coworker gossiping, maybe it was these women making snide remarks about the other women who were speaking in another language, does the coworker say, "Hey, I don't need to hear that," or you may not realize it, but that we all have work to get done. I don't know.
Sure, they can, but I mean, people are going to gossip, of course. When it's harmful, it should be stopped, and it is a very wise policy not to agree to listen to criticism of other people, because then you are associated with the criticism.
1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Your opportunity to ask a question of Miss Manners, Judith Martin. We are talking with her about her latest book, Miss Manners Minds Your Business. And if you have a business-related etiquette question, we have a line for you and still some time for you at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Colleen on Facebook says, I completed my career in a university department where our department chair created social committees to organize monthly outings, holiday and seasonal parties, gift exchanges, weekend happenings. I was chastised deeply for my lack of participation in social work events and for not involving coworkers to my family events. I've had a great working relationship with many coworkers, however. I never identified coworkers and students as extended family. I found that the social environment was hostile by the time I retired from general higher education. Wow, well, it's a long one, but
it's a very good one,
yeah.
Because it absolutely illustrates what I was saying. You talked about mandated friendship. That's what that is. And I can only ask, this person has left the job, and I would be willing to bet that not all the so-called friends are rushing to invite her to things and to include her anymore. Nor would they be even if she'd gone along with things because she's left the job. Again, one's recourse is to find other people. I find it hard to believe that everybody in the department loved all this. And if so, where was the scholarship? Didn't some of those people have projects that they wish to work on and publish and get ahead in the university? But if she could have rounded up the other people who object and say, look, we don't mind you're having fun, but a lot of us have personal responsibilities that we just can't take the time.
Yeah, this is the department chair.
People do have personal responsibilities. You know, where is their time for their relatives? Where is their time for their children? Where is their time for just plain friends who love them for themselves and not because they happen to be on the same job?
So how do you see workplaces changing in the future? Do you think this
soon? Well, I'm hoping that the pressures that have come from people who are trying to manage their families or the personal life, I don't care whether it's children or just friends, to have a personal life. But the strongest pressure is coming from people with children who don't have time to spend with them because all of these other things are eating up time beyond the regular workday. So I'm hoping those pressures will result in something.
And in our final minute, what is the takeaway that you hope our listeners take away?
The takeaway is realize that your job may be wonderful. You may be working with great people, and you may like them. But you have to have a personal life.
Thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Judith Martin is better known as Miss Manners. She's a journalist and author, etiquette authority, and author of many books, including her latest, Miss Manners Minds Your Business. Thanks to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thanks to Marika Saval for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.